Paul.
Ben.
Paul Goody,
how's
what's
it
happening?
going?
I'm doing all right.
Hey.
How are you?
It's all right. So, housekeeping stuff.
Yeah.
Really quick.
Okay.
You remember Hannah? Hannah giving us suggestions, Hannah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, she is a cartoonist, I found out.
Okay.
And she has an Instagram page. It is, and this is all one word, the opposite of easy. And I looked at some stuff. It's pretty cool, kind of cute. And I was going to mention that, and I forgot last time. So, because I think, you know, if people take the time out to write to us and, you know, give us suggestions and stuff, we should, you know, give a little back if there's something out there.
Yeah, so for all of you who are listening, 33% of which are Hannah, visit Hannah's Instagram page.
Yeah, hey, Hannah, check out your Instagram page. Why don't you?
And update all your right. security settings while you're there.
I don't know. Why? What happened? Everything's
that's,
fine?
No. That's just, you know, that's just always, that's just something that people
good,
always
good
say. I got an email today. I think it was from, I think it was from eBay. It's like, you need to update your security settings. And
oh,
I'm like,
wow.
You're not my real dad.
What if it was, though, Ben? eBay's your real dad. Get used to it.
That would explain
a lot,
that's
why you're
lot,
always
actually.
Selling stuff. Oh, my gosh. I wanted to tell you a couple other things. One is, as you may know, I'm on a diet.
You've mentioned.
I'm eating kind of the bare minimum that the app says I need to eat. This is sort of, you know, I've gone on the Boaz Frankel diet, who, by the way, Boaz, I never got back to him. Boaz, if you're listening to this, by any chance, I apologize that I didn't get back to you.
What is, first off,
I've been busy.
What is this app that you put so much credence into? Is it, it's not like, you know, Joe's dieting app for
no,
free.
No. It's My Fitness Pal. My Fitness Pal is an app that gives you...
Is it credible?
Like, it... Yeah. It's great. It's how I lost weight the last time, and then I stopped using it, and then I gained it all back. It's a calorie counting thing, mostly.
Okay.
But also, if you enter the food in and you care enough to sort it correctly, it'll tell you how much you're getting of, you know, all your nutrients and all that kind of stuff. Gives you a good balance. Now, the thing is, I'm not putting in any exercise because I don't exercise, but... This is the other thing. I do walk around every once in a while, things like that.
Does it count that? Does MyFitnessPal have a like a sister app in like a Fitbit or a Shine or something? Can you use one of those
possibly,
wrist things?
But I'm not using any of that stuff,
yeah.
Right? And so the issue is, I think I may be eating less than I'm supposed to be because I felt really kind of bad today. Like, sort of sick, like, sort of headachey
because you
and stuff like that.
You don't think you ate enough?
I don't think I ate enough. Also, though, I didn't get a lot of sleep last night.
Oh, wow.
So, those two things. So, that's the other housekeeping rule. Just, hey, if you think I sound bad, it's maybe because I'm feeling bad. But, no, I stayed up a little bit because checking out the Congress sit-in thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then finally I was like, I'm going to go to bed. Here's the thing, Ben. I'm 43 years old. I think we've covered this before.
43?
If I sit on the floor and I try to get up, it hurts. And, like, I have old man back and all that.
Yeah, and you
so
make a noise.
I imagine these folks probably pretty achy. Pretty, you know, it's like... You know, a young kid going, oh, what's the big deal? But if you're an old person, sitting on the floor, that's a big deal. Maybe they brought blankets or something eventually, or pillows or something.
Yeah.
But still.
I'm sure they have PAs or assistants that will help them up when they need to get up. But it's not a decision that they took lightly, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Oh, and this is the other housekeeping thing. That last time... we kind of touched on it. I think people getting shot is bad. Just want to put that out there.
I'm glad that you cleared that up.
The one thing I will say is that living in the Midwest, and it's not rural, but it's pretty far out, I get exposed to things that many people maybe aren't exposed to, as far as, like, I know several people in my office who have guns and carry them with them.
Do they have them on at work?
I cannot say one way or the other if they do, but I have been in conversations with them where they mention the fact that they're always carrying their weapon.
Right.
So I assume maybe they have it at work. It might be that it's a gun-free workplace, and I don't know. But so there is that, and I have a metaphor, and we're going to get to today's topic in just a second. I'm pretty excited about it. But I wanted to mention, I think I've found a way to talk to people who live in cities about how people that live in rural areas think about their firearms.
All right, so I'm a guy who lives in a city, and I'm pretty anti-gun. I'm not really anti-gun. I'm more pro gun control than I am anti-gun.
But, right, and so, I think that's most people. Yeah, I want
to
say.
So talk to me about gun ownership.
All right, so here's the thing I'm using.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen any videos about a pumpkin cannon?
A pumpkin cannon. Now that's not the same as a potato gun, is it?
It is, except it's bigger.
So instead of shooting potatoes, it shoots pumpkins?
It shoots entire pumpkins. Well, there are smaller ones that shoot gourds, but yeah, it's pretty awesome. And basically, any time that there's a corn maze or anything like that,
yeah,
at one of the bigger farms, they'll have this pumpkin cannon,
right?
Or their variation of it. They might have a couple. And there's like in the middle of a field, there's an old boat, or there's an old truck. Or there's an old, car, whatever. Some kind of old vehicle. And you can use the pumpkin cannon to shoot a pumpkin through that object. Right? Dent the heck out of the metal. Go through a window. Whatever. Right? Big loud boom. It's a cannon. But big loud boom, not as loud as like a, gunpowder or whatever. Because it's all compressed air. So it's just like a... And we'll see what happened to the microphone when I did that. Didn't really think about it. But still. Now, if you have this pumpkin cannon and you shoot it, right?
Yeah.
You're going to get a vicarious thrill. Oh my gosh, this was so awesome. The human beings love destruction. Sort of. Sometimes. Being able to shoot a hole through a car with a pumpkin is great.
An entire sport is based on destruction.
I would say yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Now, if you came to me and you said, hey, that pumpkin cannon is dangerous. Think about what it could do to somebody's house if you just started shooting through the windows. I would say, yes, but it's here in this field, and I'm not shooting it at a house, and it's fine, because it's my pumpkin cannon. That's kind of that thing. Most of the people that I've talked to out here, because I'll talk to them about guns, and hey, what do you think about this, and all that. The idea that their gun is going to be used in any sort of a violent altercation is... Just like telling someone that you're going to wheel the pumpkin cannon up to a house and shoot it. It could happen, but it's not really conceivable. For them, it's their thing, their object. And I suppose they could, wrap their head around somebody stealing it, but the idea that they would go, and shoot somebody with it, most of them don't have that thought in their head. Me, because I'm, not entirely sane and sometimes get angry and things like that. I do not carry weapons with me. It is one thing I do not do. Because, for instance, I destroy inanimate objects when I'm upset. It's a thing.
Oh,
that
do,
I do
you?
Yeah, I don't fefeel good about it. But usually it's not, a computer.
Well, I'm happy that you clarified that it was an inanimate object.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to, you know, destroying robots.
I have a hierarchy of hitting. It's, it's
walls,
you know, objects, and then myself, and not other people. it's a very disturbing thing. So anyway, that's kind of where the folks out here kind of lie. Like, they, you know, they don't have neighbors as much as other people do.
But I want to believe that a lot of the folks out there, even the rational, law-abiding gun owners, are believing the talking points fed to them by anti-gun law lobbyists saying the government is going to come take your gun.
Let's talk about come take your guns for just a second.
There's a lot of a lot of voters who are single-issue voters, and if anybody is not endorsed by the NRA, regardless of any of the positions a politician is going to take, the NRA has convinced a lot of gun owners to vote in or out a politician based on their recommendation from the NRA.
Indeed. So this is a big thing. Like, for instance, The Stranger will send out their voting guide, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, vote for everything here. Unions will do it. Same thing, right?
Yeah.
And there's something nice about being able to go down and tick off all those boxes. So, yeah, especially if you're an NRA member, I could totally see how that would be great. Oh, I got my NRA thing. I'm just going to go here, vote. The thing about the they're going to come and take away your guns thing.
Yeah.
You're familiar with the AR-15, right?
I am now.
It is one of the weapons that people are like, these should not be around.
It is a semi-automatic assault rifle.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing, right? It's also owned by tons of people. I don't know if you know that, but it's true. It and models like it, right? Owned by tons of people.
Yeah, it's basically a civilian version of the military's M16.
I don't know what the rules are, right? I have no idea what the rules are, but if those are banned, what happens to the people that already own them? Are they grandfathered in?
I don't know. I think that's something that they haven't gotten far enough
in. I can see a way that you could convince people that their guns are being taken away. If they go, see, look at, they want to take away this thing. You have one of these. It's going to be horrible. You know, I don't know what the truth of it would be, but I could totally see somebody saying that.
The argument that is taking place now is that ownership of guns needs to fall in line with the same rules and regulations that we set aside for cars and car licensing.
See, I love that. And this is the other thing. Folks that I talk to who aren't necessarily NRA members, I don't know for sure, because I don't ask. But I do talk to them about their guns. Most of them feel that way, and here's the reason why. It's just like when you're driving, right?
Yeah.
I know what I'm doing. All these other people are crazy. Right?
Yeah.
So, responsible gun owners, lots of times, like, for instance, you know, you talk to somebody and say, oh, I have to take a class. Yeah, I just took a tactical shooting class last week, and I'd take another class, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
It's just like hunting licenses. You know, people like it better when they don't have them, but if...
I think it's totally reasonable, and I'm flabbergasted by the fact that so many people are just put up a put up a wall when it comes to regulating in any regard weaponry.
Well, Ben, I'm glad that we solved this issue. Put a pin in
actually,
that.
I'm going to say that I am considering taking a shooting class. I am not interested in buying a gun. I'm not interested in owning a gun. I am, however, interested in learning how to use one because I do not want to be afraid of them.
Yeah, I would say, here's the thing that I think is crazy, right? I have shot an M16 before when I was in the Air Force.
Did you say an F-16?
Do you know? No, an M16.
Okay, an M16.
M like Michael. I shot it up 16 with a pumpkin cannon. No.
Right out of the sky.
But no, I shot an M16. And it was one day. One day, shot an M16. Cleaned an M16. And then that was it. Never touched one again.
Yeah.
When you're an infantry person, that would be a totally different thing. But in the Air Force, it's great because enlisted people don't shoot things normally. I mean, you might have to, I guess. But yeah, that was a very small part of our training.
Yeah.
Would I be interested in doing it again? Here's the thing. And this is the one other thing. And then we will get off this topic and go to the actual topic. If you're listening and you're waiting for that topic to be discussed, it will be discussed. Just hold on. The exciting thing that people never talk about guns, whenever you're a pro-gun person and you're talking about how you need to have, you know, your guns, the two things that are usually brought up, home defense and hunting, right?
Right.
All right. Remember the pumpkin cannon I mentioned earlier?
Then the only thing to stop a bad guy with a pumpkin cannon is a good guy with a pumpkin cannon?
Could you imagine? Oh man, that would be pretty awesome. It's a little bit less complicated. The main reason, like, why for hunting, why would you need a fully automatic rifle for hunting?
Well, because like, deers are starting to wear bulletproof vests now.
Right, exactly. Why do you need that for self-defense? The thing is, people like shooting guns for fun.
Yeah, you know? I know.
They set stuff up and they shoot and all that, but they don't want to bring it up. And I use this as the example. It's like if somebody's at a place there where there's a famine going on, right? And they've always had, you know, little food and all that, and you're there, and they say, "So what is an eating contest?" And you say, "Well, it's a whole bunch of food, and whoever could eat the most of it wins, but if you eat too much of it and you know so much that you have to start, you know, and you realize as you're saying it, oh wait, this is totally not cool. You don't want to talk about how fun guns are when you're talking to people whose lives have been, you know, irreversibly altered.
There's a culture where in certain war-torn countries where guns are a tool of survival. This is not one of them.
Yeah, exactly. But did you ever see Three Kings? You remember that?
No, I haven't seen that.
You ever see it? It's a good movie for a couple of things. And one of the big things is Spike Jones. There's a scene where he shoots stuffed animals with a shotgun.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where that's what he's doing for fun. That's all. He just likes shooting stuffed animals with a shotgun, and I get it. But you know, the big thing is I can find other fun things to do. It's just like how I wait for different TV shows to get on Netflix. There's something to watch before, like I don't have to pay Apple for Mr. Robot episodes. I can wait until it comes to Amazon Prime because there's so much content. It's kind of the same thing. Speaking of Mr. Robot,
we'll get onto before you move on to a different topic. I just want to say that there's a clip on YouTube of Australian comedian Jim Jefferies talking about the pro-gun American argument, how it's for protection versus how it's just a fun thing to have. I'm not going to play.
Oh, he does that?
I'm not going to play it here, but it's a great little bit. So look it up on YouTube, Jim Jefferies and the pro-gun culture.
Oh, yeah. Put a link in the show notes. Why don't
I'll
you?
Put a link in
and
the
then
show
I'll
notes.
I'll look at it. Oh, also put a link to The Opposite of Easy, maybe.
To what?
That would be cool. The Opposite of Easy, the Instagram thing that Hannah has. And finally, Ben.
Paul.
Today's topic. Yes. It's pretty... Oh. Forgot one thing. People who are upset with the idea of tying gun control to the no-fly list, because the no-fly list is this weird kind of xenophobic thing that you can get on and then not get off and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
I don't think the people who were pushing it actually thought that it was going to get passed.
not with that attitude.
It was more like, hey, here's the most Republican-friendly gun control thing we could think of.
Right, right.
And you're still not going to do it. It was, you know, points.
I mean, the no-fly list is troubled, to say the least. There's so many instances of, say, people with the same name as somebody on the no-fly list. And the person happens to be like a 2-year-old boy, but he's not able to get on his plane because he happens to share the name with somebody who's on the no-fly list. Let's say this. Our system is broken. How about that?
Hey, and you know what? It's doing better than it could, I suppose, in some ways. Doing better than it might in a worse place. I don't know, Ben. It's all just a roll
of
the dice. And here we go, dice. That's our topic for today. I did it.
Dice.
I'm sorry, I steamrolled you, though.
Dice, you did steamroll me. Dice is the topic. I did see that. I don't know who that Twitter person is who replied to you.
This is from Kuban, is how I'm going to say it. From Twitter, Kuban. Kuban is someone
pronounced
who...
Pronounced any way you please.
Yep. This Twitter user followed me when I had a different Twitter handle, and then somehow followed me again, or I followed them, whichever it was. I was very happy because when I had very few followers, this person is we have very similar topics. We both like Warlock, who is a member of the New Mutants, even though I will bet you dollars to donuts they know more about Warlock than I do. I just thought Warlock was awesome. I didn't really know much about Warlock except how Warlock talked, what Warlock looked like, and all that. Because
anyway,
I never really collected the New Mutants.
Anyway.
Ben?
Anyway.
All right. So anyway.
Dice. What do you have to say about dice or novelty dice?
Oh, one more thing I want to say just really quick. Kuban, right? From what I can tell, is Japanese for police box. And I think that perhaps it's a TARDIS reference. However, I could be wrong.
Oh, police
dice,
box.
Ben.
All right.
Yeah. Dice. When I think of dice, you know what I think of?
Dungeons and Dragons.
Dungeons and Dragons, which I play every Wednesday
since
I moved back to...
I was going
to
say Yahtzee, but I figured Dungeons and Dragons was the safer bet.
The rolling up characters by yourself for Yahtzee is really boring. So here's the thing. When I moved, now for those of you who are first listening to this, why did you start with this episode? Oh, unless maybe you're Kuban and you thought, well, I'll just listen to this one.
Or you don't.
You made the right choice.
You don't want to spend 17 hours to get caught up.
Can you imagine? Someone who goes back and spends those 17 hours and goes, well, what was that for?
Probably. Some of these are an hour. Some of these are a little bit more than an hour. I think if you listen to all of them in a row, no breaks in between, you'd probably end up spending about an entire day, about 24, 25 hours.
Yeah. And who wants to do that?
Certainly
not
me.
Do you want to do that, Kuban? I'm using your name a whole bunch just so that... If you do listen to this, you don't feel cheated, since I spent so much time talking about guns before we talked about dice. But dice, let me tell you something. When Ben and I were in a duo of performance art, also known as a performance art duo, and when I moved away from Seattle, I was trying to look for something to fill that gap. And I eventually signed up for improv classes, which I really liked. But the problem was the improv classes were about 45 minutes away from my house.
Right.
And Ben will tell you, if there's one thing I don't like doing, it's going anywhere. So eventually I stopped doing that. Oh, going somewhere for money that I'm paying, even worse. Especially when I realized that after I went through all the different levels of classes, what would happen is if everything worked out great, if it was everything that I had planned and hoped for, I would be going there to perform, spending 45 minutes driving there and parking and everything. I realized that is not an end scenario I wanted. So I stopped going, and I thought that my love of performing was going to die on the vine. But then I remembered Dungeons and Dragons, and I hooked up with my old group. Now, the timeline on this is actually I hooked up with my old group first, but...
Now, when you say your old group, are these people that you knew before you moved out here to Seattle so many years ago?
Well, in a way, let's think about it like a band. Yes. It was me and two other guys who I knew before I moved out to Seattle. These are folks in high school. I played with them like 30 years ago.
Right.
But then one of them quit, and now it's me and this other guy. And we also have a whole bunch of other new players, younger folks who have also become interested in it.
Do you meet in some dude's house or in like a gaming center? Or?
No, we meet at a comic book store, actually.
Oh, okay.
And let me ask you a question. Do the people at Comics Dungeon also sell role-playing games there, or is it all just comics?
They sell magic cards, but it's mostly comics.
Do they have, like, a magic night where people show up? Probably not, right?
They don't. No, they don't. They have a bunch of other events, but they don't have...
At the store?
At the store, yeah. They have author signings, they have ladies' book club. They're putting together a bunch of events for Pride Weekend, which is coming up. But no, they don't have games.
I need to point out also that I'm kind of LeVar Burtoning it on Reading Rainbow, because I knew that there were events there. But for our listeners, I was like, oh, really? That's cool. But
don't take my word for it.
I feel like I'm... Yeah, exactly. Oh, LeVar Burton. He didn't teach me to read, but he made me like it. I should watch The Joy of Painting.
You know what? I just watched like the first episode they have on Netflix a couple nights ago. Blair and I watched the first episode, and I forced her to watch it because she was like, "It's boring," and I'm like, "You have to watch it." And I hope that she ended up liking it.
Because I've been painting. I don't know if you've seen the paintings that I've posted to Instagram or anything.
I think I've seen a couple, but I'm not on the Instagram.
Oh, you're not on Instagram. That's
no,
right.
No, but if one of them makes it
on Twitter too.
Yeah, if one of them makes its way to Twitter, then I may see that. But you know, Twitter's algorithm is weird these days. I don't exactly know what I'm looking at sometimes.
Yeah, but what I've been using for painting is pareidolia, which is that's where you look at something and it looks like a face or whatever. Yeah. So what I do is I take a sponge and I make things all crazy, and then I stare at it and I'm like, okay, what does this look like to me? And then I have other paint that's in little tubes that have lines, and this is what my biological father, Kevin Lovick, does with his paintings, kevinlovick.com. You should totally go there and look at his art, because it's great. But
speaking of him, did Paul ever get back to you?
No, Paul never got back to me. Although I filled out a form on his website.
I'm actually seeing him on Saturday. I'll put a bug in his ear to contact you.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Talk to him about it.
Yeah.
And tell him again that I'm sorry that I left his party early. That's probably, I figure he's holding a grudge.
Was this like 10 years ago?
Yeah. This party that we went to of his. Well, it wasn't 10 years ago. It was a little bit later than that. It was the one with the zip line. You remember that?
The one with the zip line?
He had a birthday party. There was a zip line.
At Annex?
No. It was at a special place.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that party. Yeah,
that was
fun.
I remember that.
And it was really great, but I was leaving. He's like, what are you leaving for? What do you mean you're leaving? And I'm like, I go to bed really early, and it's only gotten worse. I go to bed around 8 or 9 now. I wake up at 5 a.m.
I'm sure after all this time, he holds an incredible grudge against you.
you don't know, man. He's a he's a artist. They're temperamental. Yeah. So yeah. Find out from him. What's up?
Yeah. Anyway,
the big thing that I wanted to say, though, getting all the way back to it, I like role playing games because they give me a chance to, like, I put on a little voice. You know, the guy I play is, his name is Odo Jalahandra. He has a 9 wisdom, which is low. Not as low as you can get, but it's pretty low. And so occasionally he'll be like, oh, we're the ones with the blue dragon mask. When he's supposed to be, you know, hiding or whatever. It's fun. And I, myself, I'll just say I have 3 sets of dice that I use. One is orange, one is black, and one is green. And it's because sometimes he's a... I've only normally needed 1 set of dice. But because he's a wizard, sometimes if I'm like shooting a fireball spell or whatever, I need a whole bunch of dice to roll for damage. And that is what I normally use dice on. Now, there was a second thing that Kuban asked for me to talk about, and that's novelty dice. Ben, are you familiar with novelty dice?
Yeah. Novelty dice heavier on one side than on another, so they always roll up 7s or whatever.
Oh, well, I wasn't thinking about that, but yeah. Those are also novelty dice. That is true. What I was meaning is that in the world of role playing games, you can buy some crazy dice.
Like, you know, forty sided dice?
Well, no, but they did sell for a while. I don't know if you can still get it. I'm sure you could probably on Amazon or something. But I actually had one for a while. It's a 100-sided die.
What?
It's like a golf ball-looking thing. And you roll it, and then it will stop on a number. And whatever number's on top, that's what
how,
you do.
With that many, quote, sides, how do you know which one is the top side?
It's very difficult.
You have to use a laser guided pointer to figure out which one is the flat.
It's pretty big. Like I said, it's about the size of a golf ball. And you can tell, pretty much. But the thing that the person who can't tell lots of times is the dungeon master. And so they will very often dissuade the use of that.
Well, I mean, at that point, you should just have like a random number generator.
Right, and you know, that's another thing, is that they sell apps now where you just put in how many sides the die has, or how many numbers it has,
yeah,
and then you click it. So you can have like 3-sided dies, and you know, 17-sided or whatever, which is kind of cool. But again, you know, there's no way for them to really verify that app, so it makes it a little bit crazy. The biggest thing, though, I would have to say... as far as novelty dice that I've seen recently, is that a guy that plays with us on Wednesdays has a 20-sided die. Now, 20-sided dice, Ben, do you know what those are used for?
Evaluating hit points?
Well, these days...
Or damage?
I'm talking about 5e. They're used for... saving throws, they're used for attack rolls, they're used for contested ability checks. Basically, anytime you want to do something.
Right.
You know, in a...
You got to remember that the last time I played Dungeons & Dragons, I was in the 6th grade.
I didn't even know you played. That's amazing. What kind of character did you play?
I was probably a thief or a wizard, and... most of the game just involved me mapping out the dungeon on a piece of graph paper.
Wow, while you were playing?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Is it? Yeah. I probably still have some graph paper left over from 6th grade because, of course, my mother keeps everything. And
Sure.
So if I went through and looked at all my old papers, I'm sure I'd be able to find up some of them. Hanging out under the eaves of the school during recess while it's raining, playing Dungeons & Dragons with my friend Andy.
Okay, at some point in time, if you ever find that map, we'll have to revisit this, because that would be kind of cool if you still have it. But there's a guy who plays with us who has these gigantic, I don't know why I say gigantic, I don't,
they're probably huge.
They're probably the size of golf balls again. I don't know why I keep going for that, but the golf ball is a good size to describe things lots of times.
Often used to describe the size of tumors.
Yes, a golf ball sized tumor.
Golf balls are grapefruits.
One on my leg.
You should get that looked. You should get that looked at.
I get them looked at all the time. There's nothing.
I'm talking about by a doctor.
No, that's what. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, totally. I got two of them taken out on a biopsy a long time ago, and then got another one taken out more recently. And each time, they're just, you know, nothing you can do about them. They're not cancer. It's weird. I figure eventually they're going to start growing like vestigial fingers and stuff like that, but so far nothing. If this were the 80s, I could get a lot of money by getting people to like poke at them at a UFO convention. But these days, or science knows a little bit more about what they are.
Just paint a picture of the Virgin Mary on it and call the devout.
Yeah. I got to say, it was kind of cool watching like the X-Files or whatever and looking down at my arm and wiggling this thing that's underneath my skin back and forth.
That's pretty gross.
Oh, so the main thing is this golf ball sized 20-sided die.
Yeah.
When a natural 20 is rolled, and of course, natural 20 is the best. You know, it means that you have a critical hit or you automatically like succeed or whatever.
You have a one out of 20 chance to get it.
Yep. A 1 out of 20 chance, also known as a 5% chance, Ben. That's how dice work. But yeah, so if you roll a natural 20, it lights up. Lights up, blinky, blinky, blinky.
Oh, really?
You have done well. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
The only,
I have to say...
You only have to say...
You know, like everyone at the table knows that it happened and all that. I gotta say, you know, while I'm talking about dice, my DM has two yellow dice that he rolls, and they roll 20s all the time. Especially when he's attacking us.
That sounds kind of dodgy.
And he'll lift up the screen and he'll be like, oh no. Yeah, it's one of those things of we kind of want to take it from him, but he said that, you know, he's God basically when he's playing. Hi, Jennifer. My wife Jennifer is here. Jennifer, are you wanting the couch to like play a game or something? Okay. Jennifer wants the couch to play a game, so
Were you laying down on the couch?
I was laying down on the... It's not even a couch. It's sort of a love seat. I'll have to show you how I lay down on it sometime. Because my legs hang off over the edge.
I never... that's great. I never had more than 6-sided dice. But the only like interesting dice mechanism that I had, we had this travel Yahtzee game. And we had a lot...
Let me understand this really quick. You said you never had more than 6-sided dice?
Yeah.
Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
So when you played Dungeons & Dragons, how did that work?
Well, my friend...
Oh, was it just mapping?
No, my friend had the die. It didn't...
Okay.
Like,
gotcha.
I'm talking about, like, at home, I only had... Like, the board games that we had that included dice only had 6-sided dice. And we had a lot of travel editions of games because we took a lot of car trips when I was a kid. And, of course, my parents needed to figure out what to do with my sister and I while we're trapped for 10 hours in a car. And one of these, it was a travel version of the game Yahtzee. And this version of the game had a like a blue sort of plastic shell that had 6 holes cut in it. And each hole had a die in it. And the die were not able to escape. They were trapped inside this thing. They were trapped inside their own little hole. And so what you did is you turned the thing upside down. And
oh, I gotcha.
You ran your hand over it to sort of roll the dice, making it as random as possible. And then it had these little cutouts on the underside. So you basically popped the dice into place. And then you flipped it over, and you can see what you got from 1 to... It's either 1 to 5 or 1 to 6. I can't remember exactly how many dice you use in Yahtzee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then when you want to roll again, you pop them back inside, and you turn it upside down and shake it, and then pop the dice into place and turn it over and see what you got. And it was kind of interesting. And it, when as a kid, it was a lot of fun to play with.
Well, you know, there's also, I guess, what I want to say it's trouble, but Jennifer, maybe you know this. What was the dice game with the pop-o-matic?
Oh, right.
Was it Sorry? Yeah.
Where
Sorry.
The
dice are in a...
They're in like a little plastic shell.
Bubble.
Yeah.
And you push it down, and it goes... And then it rolls the dice.
I was thinking of Boggle Warp, but those aren't dice. Those are actually dice, but with letters on them.
Oh, yeah.
So you turn
which
the...
Totally thing.
You turn my, the Boggle upside down and blah, blah, blah.
We bought Rory's Story Cubes for my daughter, and she hates them.
I don't even know what that is.
You're supposed to use them to, like, make imagination stuff. Like, you tell stories based on what things show up in the cubes and all that.
So, are you telling me that your daughter hates imagination?
She likes imagination. It's really weird. She likes imagining as long as she's imagining with licensed characters. she doesn't like making up like, oh, look, here's a dog or whatever. It has to have some kind of intellectual
Snoopy
property owned by one of the major conglomerates. Jennifer just said it's not true. Oh yeah, that's true. We did.
She just doesn't want to be
she doesn't want to be my monkey is what Jennifer said, and it's true. We used to play a game called Knock, 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 which was basically improv. Because I don't know if I've mentioned this before, Ben, but I love improv.
Yeah, you...
I would do it...
You like improv.
It would be what I would do all the time if there was somehow I could do it just in my house. Even, I would say, even if someone were to drive me to a venue, I wouldn't have to actually drive myself.
So
maybe.
You need a driver. You need a venue. If you could make a living just doing improv while having handlers, is that what you're saying? So you want a role on
basically,
the show.
Basically,
I want to... Whose Line Is It Anyway or something.
The issue is that there are probably people who are much better at me. In fact, I know there are, for instance... everybody from Hello from the Magic Tavern, who, by the way, have their own brand of hot sauce now. There are three bottles of hot sauce that they've put out, and I have bought all three of them. We will see how it goes. Yeah, I'm pretty excited. Ben, have you listened to Hello from the Magic Tavern?
No, I have not.
Oh,
I don't even listen to podcasts that I like anymore. I just don't have the time for it.
I really don't either now that I've started learning Lithuanian. it's what I spend all my car drive doing.
Yeah.
Still not any better at the rolling of the R's thing. Actually, no, I'm a little bit better. I got it.
Well, you know.
I can now roll it properly when I have a plosive in front of it. Have I mentioned this already?
You talked about that last week.
So yeah. It's gotten even better. So that's great.
Oh, that's
but
good.
The rest of it,
so
I feel bad.
When are you meeting your family who's Lithuanian?
Oh, okay. So the interesting thing, right?
Yeah.
Is that the meeting is going to happen probably in July.
Which is like
I
a week
realize
and a half
now
away.
That even though they're Lithuanians, right?
Yeah.
All of them have all the ones who I'm going to be meeting, they were all born in different countries like Brazil or Germany or whatever.
Oh, so
because of, you know, the wars and stuff.
So many other languages you have to learn now.
Well, no. The thing is, this is the crazy bit, but it's kind of cool too. They, instead of having like Saturday morning cartoons and things like that, they went to Lithuania school or Lithuanian school and learned how to speak Lithuanian and do stuff like that. So they have like all this cultural stuff that they continued learning when they were kids and probably into adulthood.
Yeah.
So they all speak Lithuanian.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would have really hated that as a kid if I had to go to language school as opposed to watching cartoons.
I think they did too, but yeah. I'm not sure. But I'm very interested in all the Lithuanian stuff that I've seen so far. There's, you know, they have their own popular bands. They have, you know, I've been trying to find if there were any like TV shows that people used to watch and stuff like that, which is one reason why I wanted to talk to Paul about it.
Yeah.
But, and then they've got this also, this style of singing that I really like where three people kind of sing at each other. And it's somewhat dissonant and it's great. I love it.
It's a Lithuanian sing battle.
Yeah.
A Lithuanian standoff.
Or it may just be a sung conversation. I don't really know, but it looks like they're making eye contact. It looks like they're talking back and forth, but they're all singing at the same time. And it's pretty cool. All
right.
And what does that have to do with dice? Not a lot, really. But I'll tell you, randomness, right?
Right.
Because what is a coin, Ben, that you flip if not a two-sided dice? Or die?
Blowing die, my mind.
Yeah. So, I want to know, you know, that whole thing of if you flip the coin, you know, so many times, it would come up 50-50 and all that.
Heads.
Like, how many times? Yes, exactly.
Heads.
How many times it actually would be, you know what I mean? Like,
what do you mean?
Like, what, like, would one coin, would there be a specific coin that had a higher percentage of heads and tails and would reliably be that, you know what I mean? Like, you could spend your whole life flipping coins.
I know what you mean.
Testing out that thing.
The only thing that comes to mind in terms of, like, what would flip it towards one side or another more often is the weight of the coin. If it's heavier on one side. But that would mean you would have to flip it the exact same way in the exact same conditions every time. And that's
true.
Not going to happen. Well, I mean, it can happen in a vacuum, or not in a vacuum, but it can happen in a controlled environment. But it's, you know, just if you have a coin, let's say you have a coin and you tape another coin to one side of it and you flip it, to get a reliably larger sample size of one end or another, you would probably have to flip it the exact same way each time. I don't know. Maybe that's worth experimenting, I suppose.
Yeah, if you have an idle moment, listener at home, flip a coin a couple times, see what happens. There's a really cool like bunch of crazy probability stuff that I've run into, just reading about, and it's like, I don't remember exactly how it works, but imagine, if you will, that there's a male cat and a female cat, right? And you don't know which is which, but the cat on the left is white.
Okay.
Like there's a male cat and a female cat, and there's a black cat and a white cat, right?
Two cats.
There are two cats.
Right.
One is female, one is male.
Right.
One is black and one is white.
White.
And apparently, if you learn that the one on the left is white, then there will be an easier way to tell if the one on the right is male or female.
Are you talking about?
I don't get it.
Are you talking about? There's a similar sort of riddle where something to the effect of they've lied, like a prisoner warden has lined a bunch of prisoners up, like back to back or back to front, right? Mm-hmm. So they're in a line, they're all facing the same direction, and they're all wearing a hat, and the hats are either black or white, and they don't know what hat color they are wearing. They only know what hat color the person in front of them is wearing. And if they can all guess, if they can all guess properly, then the prison warden will let them go. which seems pretty dumb way to determine whether or not somebody's guilty of a crime. But there you go. And I don't, you know, I couldn't tell you, I could look it up, but I couldn't tell you exactly how this is solved. But there is a way to tell to solve this.
See, and so that's the thing, is it's not just random. There's more to it than that.
I'm actually going to look it up.
There's this cat, Ben, who's just lounging around our yard. Like, my cat isn't even here. And I'm wondering how my cat's taking it. She's got to be upset. I wonder if she's fought with this cat or not. If she knows that this cat's around. I'm going to open this door, see if my cat's here.
All right, so here we go.
No, my cat's not out here. Maybe she's staring at that other cat going, what'd you do? Or else the other cat's, maybe the other cat's attacked her to the point where she's upset. Hey, I got mail.
You have mail.
Let's see here. Here's something from my work, which is about choosing a dentist and a doctor. Which I already have done, so... it's my Lithuanian phrase book. Which came just in time.
From the Amazon. You never actually said this was going to happen, when you were going to have this trial by fire.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you after it happens. I don't want anybody else snooping in on my business, Ben. It'll happen soon. Or it won't happen soon. Who knows?
Do you have to get to go up to Chicago to do this, or?
It is in a undisclosed location.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm going to get the address in the mail closer to the date. And we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Oh, hey, this is a bigger book than I thought. I'm not complaining.
So.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, the thing I got, it has the Lithuanian alphabet in it, and, let's see, what the diphthongs are, and it has...
I've always found it funny that diphthong was a grammatical phrase and not just an outright insult.
Shut up, you diphthong.
Because it sounds like an insult.
It does. I think it... Well, dip is an insult, right?
I think
isn't
so.
Isn't it? I think.
Dip? Yeah. Sure.
Dip. Hey, you dip.
The jailer puts...
Oh, this is...
Three of the men...
This is a great book.
...sitting in a line. The fourth man is put between... Behind a screen, he gives all four men party hats. The jailer explains that there are two black hats and two white hats. That each prisoner is wearing one of the hats, and that each of the prisoners only sees the hat in front of him, but not on himself or behind. The fourth man, behind the screen, can't see or be seen by any other prisoner. No communication among the prisoners is allowed. If any prisoner can figure out and say to the jailer what color hat he has on his head with 100% certainty, all four prisoners go free. If any prisoner suggests an incorrect answer, all four prisoners are executed. Man, this is a dark puzzle. The puzzle is to find how the prisoners can escape, regardless of how the jailer distributes the hats. So that's the prisoner hat-wearing puzzle. I don't really know how it translates to cats and female or male, but there you go.
Yeah. I really recommend that if you like things like this, and this isn't going to be one of those podcasts where we tell you what the answer is. when I was in first grade, this is great. I couldn't read that well. I could. That's the thing, is I could read. I could read pretty well, actually, now that I think about it. I was trying to think what the confound was.
Yeah. Well, this is why, right? Here's the story I was going to say. The teacher... that we had a substitute teacher, and she read us a story, right?
Yeah.
And then she stopped in the middle of the story, and I said, well, how does it end? And she's like, well, you'll have to find that out for yourself. And when I first started telling the story, I thought that I was frustrated because I couldn't read, right?
Uh-huh.
But I could read. The thing I was frustrated with is she wouldn't give me the book. at all. Or tell me what the name of the book was.
She wouldn't tell you the name of the book?
Nope.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
I think, and this, now, I could be assassinating the character of a teacher who is now dead.
Are you sure she wasn't reading you a story from the Bible?
No, no, it wasn't from the Bible. I would have known. It was a story about a some kind of a fairy who was inside of a stove. I want to, it's not the Brownie and the Cook, but it was something similar to that. What I think it was she was reading us a story, and then story time was over, so she just stopped.
Right.
And if I'm thinking back to it now, she probably just wasn't a nice person and was kind of annoyed that she had to be there.
Oh, having to go to a job. And, how boring.
Well, that's the thing is that, I don't know, it was a pretty small town. It may be, I mean, some weird stuff happened at that small town when I was growing up. Shout out to people from Pontiac, Illinois. I remember a kid coercing me to leave school and hang out with him at his house.
Yeah.
And that's, I did that.
Not uncommon.
Like, it wasn't weird. And I don't know, but I didn't know the kid that well, and I don't know how my parents found me afterwards. All I remember is that an adult came home and he was upset that I was there. And somehow I got back home.
Well, it was probably this kid's dad who thought that the house was empty and he was bringing his secretary home for a nooner and was upset couldn't do that.
That sounds exactly right. Either that or maybe I was kidnapped at that and I got that wouldn't be right because all the records have me. And see, this is the thing, is that before I found my biological parents, right?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure, but it all checks out, because I have biological parents who I know now. And so, the chain of custody has been established then.
Oh, so you thought maybe that was when you were kidnapped, and that's when your Mr. and Mrs. Goody took you?
Like they found me, or... You know, like, maybe I'm blocking out the point where the police were like, well, where do you live? I don't know. Here's a nice family to go live with. You know, all that kind of stuff.
We found him in a spaceship in our cornfield.
Exactly. I suspected that I was an alien a lot.
I always wondered about that.
But it turns out now I'm Lithuanian, so...
Well, you're an illegal alien is what you're telling me.
Oh, my gosh. No, I'm not. Although, I will say this, My father was here in the U.S., like, was born here in the U.S. My mom was born in Brazil, but I think she was a legal immigrant.
Okay.
And so I think I'm good. But, you know, whenever they have those laws and they're like, hey, we're going to delegitimize people who are born... to foreign parents here
anchor
in the
babies.
US. I'm always like,
I think you're grandfathered in and you don't have to worry about your citizen status being revoked because they consider you an anchor baby.
You know, I was adopted by a US citizen.
Right.
Also, so even if there's some wonkiness there. Although there's so many reasons I won't be president ever anyway. And I don't mind, Ben. You wouldn't want to be president, would you?
No, hell no.
Yeah. It's weird, kind of, to want to be president, I think.
Yeah.
A little bit.
It's status.
So did we cover dice?
I think we covered it as much as we could. I mean, we didn't talk about roulette
I mean, roulette isn't like dice,
games,
right?
Games of chance.
Yeah. Let's see. Historically, dice were bone, right? Like knuckle bones or whatever.
Mm.
People.
Knuckle bones.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Yeah.
Maybe.
No.
I don't know. Look it up on. Hey, look up some pictures of old dice. Just type in old dice on the internet. Hickory dock.
Fuzzy,
oh, hey, no,
fuzzy dice hanging from your windshield your rear mirror.
The Fresh Prince.
Yeah, dice in the mirror. If anything, I could say that this cab was rare, but I thought, nah, forget it. Yo, Holmes to Bel Air.
Now, when he said rare, do you think he meant, like, ripe, like it smelled bad? It seemed to me that he was holding his nose and...
He said that afterwards.
Shaking his hands back and forth.
So...
Okay.
He didn't know that the cab smelled bad until after he got in, but he said that this cab was rare, like, as he was getting in. So the smell hadn't quite hit him yet. I think the Fresh Prince is using the word rare as, and actually, in its truest form, it's unique. It's a unique cab.
It's a unique cab.
Yeah.
Oh, because its license plate said fresh. I mean, that, specifically. Oh, do you think it's possible that he took his name? Like, it's one of those things where they said, hey, what's your name? And he looked at the license plate and he said, fresh.
He's pulling a Kaiser Soze?
Artist and said, Prince? It's possible.
He's totally pulling a Kaiser Soze on his name.
Hey, wait a second. Think about this also. Will Smith, right?
Yeah.
That's a weird life to have.
Will Smith?
Being Will Smith, yeah.
Well, I mean, he was doing rap concerts at the age of 17, right? He doesn't know anything other than show business.
Right, but the fact that he's been in show business for a really long time, and he's done so much stuff now.
He even played Muhammad
Ali.
Kind
of crazy. He did play Muhammad Ali. And speaking of Muhammad Ali...
He's the greatest.
The idea of changing one's name when one is a sports figure, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who we've talked about before, I think. If you don't remember, he is a very interesting guy as well. He's written a book about Sherlock Holmes' brother. It's a novel.
Mycroft?
I really want to read it. Yeah. He wrote a book about Mycroft. I want to read it. But the big thing is, I was like, there was another guy who changed his name and he put chapstick in it.
What?
He put chapstick as his name. And I couldn't figure out what I was thinking of. And then I remembered, finally, that there was a commercial I saw where Dr. J told some kid that now his name is Dr. Chapstick.
What?
And the young fellow that I was, who wasn't really exposed to that much television, was convinced that he actually changed his name to Dr. Chapstick. I was like, no, it's Dr. Chapstick now. It was very similar to, I saw Saturday Night Live at one point in time about Buckwheat getting shot.
Okay. Back in the Eddie Murphy era?
Yeah, and it was on. I mean, it was on television
right at
the time. I was young enough that I didn't understand that the news guy was not the news guy.
That it was all fake.
I knew that the story was fake, but I thought they got the real news guy.
Gotcha.
Because I didn't understand impressions.
Yeah.
So.
And now you understand them a little bit too well.
Yes, indeed. Ugh. No, thank you. I say. So, Ben, thank you so much for talking.
Yeah.
I wanted to tell you something that's important.
What's that?
We cannot have our Yelling for Betty segment today.
Oh, no.
Betty is at camp.
Why not?
She's hanging out.
She's at
camp.
So,
instead, what's that?
She's at camp. What kind of camp?
She's at camp, yeah. Scout camp.
Scout camp?
Yep.
Cool.
So, instead, we are going to do a segment called Talking to Jennifer While She's Playing a Video Game.
I can't wait.
So oh yeah, Ben, you got to bleep it out. Sorry.
If she unleashes just a stream of swear words, then I am just going to cut this segment entirely.
You're just going to cut this entire segment entirely?
if nothing more than just swear words.
Okay. So Jennifer, do you have anything to say about dice? Oh yeah, Jennifer and I played backgammon after we were married. That was one of the things we started doing.
Oh yeah? How did that work out for you?
Yeah. Pretty good. Okay. I actually got better at it after a while.
Yeah, we had a backgammon set when I was growing up. It was in this cool little briefcase, this Nugga Hide briefcase.
I beat you once. You got super mad at me. Because I was doing so many stupid things, and you're like, "What are you even? How are you playing this? What are you doing?" And then eventually, I won, and that is what Jennifer Pratt has to say about dice.
All right. Well.
I'm
looking forward to hearing what Jennifer said, because I couldn't hear anything she said while she was talking.
Yeah, you guys were talking over each other, too.
Pretty crazy. That's because I couldn't hear her.
It'll be fine. Don't worry. So, Ben, yeah, thanks a lot. And, I'm pretty pleased. I think we're hitting a stride. This is good.
The hour just flies by.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, thanks again, and I'll let you know how things are going.
Yeah.
In the future.
In the future. All right.
And stay safe. Please
yeah.
You stay safe and stay safe.
Safe.
Stay safe and stay safe. That's a tongue twister. Stay safe and stay safe. I can't even do it.
Stay safe and stay safe? Say
yeah. Okay, so here it is.
Two smart fellows.
Say safe.
Say safe.
And stay safe.
Say safe and stay safe.
See, it's kind of crazy, right? Oh, you did it. All right. All right. Well, thanks, Ben.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you later.
All right. See you later.
Have a good day.
You too. Yep. All right.
And bye, bye, listeners, especially you, Kuban. Thank you very much. For your suggestion. All right. Talk to you later, Ben.
All right. Bye.
Are you still there?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to turn this off.
Yep. Oh, every time.